Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Junks, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just go to CropMetcalf.com and you can join their team today.
All right, so we wanted to throw it out there. Our Caps fans, did any of them react the way Lurch did? I knew Lurch was going to be distraught when he found. I couldn't wait to text him that Verano
was probably
traded.
The first person you texted after you heard it.
First person I thought of. Yeah, because A, I know you're not on social media, so I knew it would take like a year for you to find out.
Right, I probably wouldn't have found out till this morning.
Yeah, and then B, I knew you would be distraught because you considered him your boy and you like shared beers with him and whatever the little bonding you
might
have
had. Well, we were boys.
Well, I think the fan base thinks the same along those lines. I would have put Verana in top five most popular current Caps. I mean, Obviously up at the top you have Ovi and Backstrom. You got Oshie. You got Tom Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Kuzi.
I top five or six. I think he goes in there. He's in that mix.
I definitely agree. But we should have seen it coming because, you know, as Tarek said, we saw the discontent, right? We saw some of the body language.
Yeah.
We saw the DNPs or whatever.
The writing has been on the wall for this to potentially happen for months.
We should have seen it coming. We should have seen it. And I was a little bit taken aback at first. I was like, whoa, you're getting rid of one of your big sillies, even though he may be a little bit in the doghouse right now. But I wonder if Caps fans are reacting more like Cakes, who – Cakes is often this way. Once you're off the Caps, out of sight, out of mind, now he'll still tip his cap to Rana, and he appreciates what he did for him.
Sure, of course.
But there's a large part of Cakes that he's so loyal to his teams that when they get rid of a guy, they're almost dead to him. I know that's how he
pretty close,
thinks.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. I loved Jay Beagle when he was a Washington Capitol, but I don't follow his exploits when he's toiling
in
Vancouver.
Yeah, like, he may as well be on Mars.
He might
Same
as well
thing
be
with Hopi.
He might as well be playing, like, in Tasmania.
Right.
Like, in the Tasmanian Hockey League.
And I know you loved Vrana, who didn't. I mean, his talent is dazzling at
but
times.
But I think he's also frustrating, too, and this clearly frustrated Laviolette. I think he poured, I'm sure this is part of the reason why he's gone, he poured more of his efforts into the offensive end than, you know, getting back and playing defense and the physical side of the game. But that's not really his game. His game is speed and goal scoring. And, you know, zooming up and down the ice. And
but look, that's the question.
McClellan didn't have a choice. If a guy doesn't want to be here and your coach doesn't like him, you can't keep him.
Well, do we know he didn't want to be here? We just know he was unhappy. That doesn't mean he didn't want to be here. He wasn't happy with his role, it appeared.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, he clearly wasn't happy in the situation here. Now, maybe he just needed a change of scenery, which now he gets. Now he gets it with a bad team in a terrible city. But, you know, he's going to miss Clarendon and all his hotties down there at Circa.
He certainly is.
But you know what? He's out. I'm kind of upset about it. I got a little teary-eyed when I heard about it. But now I'm all
you
about
– You did not get teary-eyed.
Now I'm all about Anthony Mantha.
He does get emotional. So maybe
Can you stop lying about him being teary-eyed?
Now, I just hope Mantha's as good as they say he is.
Well, Verano wasn't producing. That's what you forget.
He wasn't playing.
He wasn't producing.
He was
scored a goal
scratches.
Last Friday, which was his first goal in a month. He was getting 9 minutes
of ice time.
Is one
goal
a month good? Is a goal a month good?
Well, he wasn't producing,
generally
JP,
not.
Because he wasn't playing, and he was a healthy scratch twice against the Devils. And if you're a healthy scratch and you're that good, there's a reason.
Right. When you're staring daggers at your coach after burying a goal, it doesn't bode well for your long-term residence in that city.
Remember, we asked Laviolette about that. I think I asked him. And I can't remember what his response was. I think he wasn't too pissed about it, Right? I think he was like...
I think he said something all along the lines of, look, if what I did to him gets him to score two goals in a game, I should be doing it more often.
Right.
That was kind of his pat response.
Right. Which is a good one.
Yeah, sure.
Which is a good response. So anyway,
well, look, he doesn't have to deal with him anymore. He doesn't have to deal with that,
right.
that daily nonsense. Because now Mantha comes in. He's a different type of player. He's more of an all-around player. And he's a guy that on... You know, a typical year, if he plays in 80-plus games, he's going to score around 50 points.
Right. 800-636-1067. Want to hear from Caps fans. Do you react the way Cakes did and you're totally pragmatic about it? And you know what? God bless him. He was good for us. But time to move on. New blood. I'm all about – how do you say his name? Mantha?
Mantha.
I'm all
like
about the
Panther.
Big monster.
Mantha.
Mantha. Or are you like Lurch and you're just sad and you have a tear in your eye and
barely
you're
slept
just
last
longing
night.
For the Vrana of a couple years ago?
I want him back. Can they trade him back and trade Mantha back to Detroit?
Hey, no, you can just follow the Red Wings now, Jason. They could be your other team.
Oh, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, that's what you'll do.
Is that essentially getting traded to Siberia at this point, which you never would have said 5 years ago?
I mean, you don't want it right now. You don't want to get traded to Detroit or Buffalo. And he got dealt
or
to one
Ottawa.
Of those
I think Ottawa would be worse.
Ottawa's probably bad too, yeah. But yeah, those are some of the destinations you don't want as an NHL player. Yeah.
All right, let's go to John in Germantown, line one. Hey, John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
What's up, EB Cakes?
Hey, John.
Lurch, JP, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, good.
Hey, what's up?
All right, so you guys are chicken and egging all around this, right? Like, I love Jake, right? I have a social media entity called the Captastrophes. We wrote a song about Jake. We love Jake, just like you guys do. But, like, whether it was Laviolette's system that made him unhappy or whether it was Jake's attitude that got him in trouble, it doesn't matter. Once you're a pickle, you're never going to be a cucumber again or whatever the heck a pickle is before it's a pickle.
That's the weirdest analogy I've heard.
I'm just curious, and I'm probably going to regret this. Give me some lyrics from the Jacob Vrana song.
JP, what are you doing?
Hey, look, Vrana. It's to the tune of Panic at the Disco. Hey, look, Ma, I made it. Except we say, hey, look, Vrana made it.
I love that song.
By the way, nobody's talking about Ponick getting dealt. He gets no love whatsoever.
No, no one cares.
He got shipped out of here, and nobody's talking about him.
How long with Ponick? You can't rhyme Ponick. Come on, Kate.
That's a good point. I understand.
No, but you can say Ponick at the Disco.
You can say Ponick. There were so many.
Yeah, but that was his actual song. That was his. Cakes, I tagged you. Go to the Captastrophes account. You'll see what we're doing. Like we took. Call Me by Blondie and turned it into Carly for John Carlson. Like, it's right up your alley, dude.
Okay, you guys love parody songs. I get it. I'll have to check that out.
Yes, we are all about parody music bits.
I don't know.
How long was Ponick here?
2 seasons.
Was it two? Okay.
Yeah. Look, McClellan usually gets his signings right. Ponick, not a great signing.
Yeah.
He would tell you that, too. It just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Made a lot of money, though. He's making a lot of coin.
Mm-hmm. Dude, he's well-traveled. If you look at his career, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Chicago, Arizona, then Washington.
I'm actually glad he's gone because as soon as he got here, there were 1,000 Ponick at the Disco puns about him. I hope I didn't do one. Maybe I did.
He's from check all night.
Hmm. Yeah, he'll be hanging out with his other checkmate, Vrana.
Right.
Well, it looks like nobody cares that Vrana was traded.
Well, I
even
know
the guy
they don't
that wrote
care
a song
that,
about him.
I know they don't care that Ponick was dealt. That I do know.
No
that
one cares about Ponick. Looks like Lurch is the only guy that cares that Vrana was dealt.
Well, he was my BFF.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted yesterday. I can't remember who it was. They just bought a Vrana jersey. The blue silly alternate with Vrana on the back.
Always a risk. I thought he was in the jersey game.
I think even Craig Lachlan said it. He was destined for stardom. Lachlan thought he was going to be a star. I thought he was going to be a star because I scouted him. He was going to be the man here, but uncoachable. Sorry. You know, that's just a bad character trait. Hopefully he improves that and matures when he goes to Detroit.
It was two coaching staffs that didn't really buy into Jacob Vrana.
Right.
Trotsky and Laviolette.
Trotsky too?
Yeah, Trotsky didn't
love
him.
Yeah, there were
him.
Issues there, too.
Yeah, he didn't love him.
So sometimes you got to look at the player.
But Trotsky overlooked it because he saw the talent and the speed. Yeah. And, you know, that 2018
well, the speed jumps out at you. You can even just be a novice like me, and I can say, whoa.
Remember how good he was in the playoffs in 18?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had that
Jason's
extra gear.
Jason's lost his guy.
You lost your man. Who's your man
while
crush
you were lamenting
now?
That, I got to tell you, I've been obsessing on the Troy Aikman picture that went viral yesterday. Have you seen this?
Yes. Were they on the boat with Jimmy?
Yeah.
With Jimmy Johnson and some of the
other
old
he's
farts?
Got like an 8-pack.
Is he young and dreamy?
I didn't see it.
I mean, I don't know that he's young. I mean, he's Troy Aikman. And Troy Aikman in his 50s?
Oh, he's got to be like 58 or something. I mean, he's got to be up there.
Oh, it's current day Troy Aikman.
Current day Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
He's taking something.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he does look like he's ripped there. Maybe he's going keto like your boy.
He could be genetically blessed.
Right.
54, by the way, 54.
What I love about Jimmy is Jimmy doesn't care. He's got a big old belly, old saggy man boobs. He doesn't care.
Right. Well, is he 70s?
I think Jimmy Johnson looks pretty good.
Yeah, I would take Jimmy Johnson right now.
Are you looking at the other old fat gray guy next to him?
Yeah, the other guy. Those guys both look kind of the same. I mean, the other guy looks like he's got a little bit more love handle action there.
Jimmy's
but, yeah,
doing
I think
the old man
own
bit,
it.
Though, where he's hiking up his shorts a little high.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it takes balls to take that picture with Troy Aikman with his 20-pack. Well, I mean, like your old,
Troy
you
also
care.
Looks like his slinky's about to fall out of his shorts. I mean, those shorts are low. Right? He's got the world's longest torso.
Who else is in that picture? Is that who's on the far right?
I feel like it might be Jay Novacek or something like that.
I don't recognize those dudes.
I don't either.
Is that Norv Turner next to Jimmy?
Looks like him, doesn't it?
That looks like Norv.
Might be, yeah. I think that is Norv.
Yeah, maybe it's just like a bunch of old Cowboys. Yeah, coaches or something.
I really hope that my son gives Antonio Gibson the ball a lot in 2021.
Right.
Actually, it's Cakes that he hopes he gets the ball a lot.
Right.
We'll put the picture up at Junks Radio, but it's also like his stomach looks a little weak. Like he has the 8-pack, but then it's like he has, I don't know if you see his ribs on the side.
Well, he also has no hair, which is kind of weird. Yeah. He's hairless.
Oh,
Troy Aikman.
He would definitely win our Reggie Bush contest.
I don't see one hair on his body.
Yeah.
Like Valdez is, you know, you can't find his Jimmy Johnson, but Aikman, I mean, I guarantee you it's pristine down there. The hardest wood floors of all time, Cakes.
Probably.
Like a porn star.
Could be, yes.
Right?
You would love to see it. You know you'd love to see it, too.
Not as much as you.
Now, the guys on each side of him, I'm
never
sure
talk
they make
about guys' junk.
I just think you'd be sized, just knowing you.
Right. He's so stupid.
Are you with me, Dravy?
Hey, Jason, where in Ocean City? Where in Ocean City do you think they took this pic with that crystal clear blue water?
Yeah, that's secrets. That's right, that is. That's secret.
Certainly is.
Well,
it must be.
That's
it
for
could
sure.
be BJ's on the bay, though. It might be BJ's on the bay.
Right. That does look more like bay water to me than ocean water. You're right.
Isla Morada, Florida, wherever that is.
Almorada. Richie.
Isla
Morada. It's not
Morada.
Isla. No, it's not Isla.
You know what?
Well,
just
how do you
say it?
Key
West.
Just say
Key West. That's probably close.
Well, it says
you've probably been there.
Isla
before.
Morada, Florida.
I know it says that, but it's not pronounced that way. Yeah. It's Isle Morada.
All right.
But it should be. La Jolla
right. That's down near Key West.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it looks silly.
I know. I wish I was there right now.
Let me tell you. We should do it.
I could bring my Comrex down there.
But Drabby, we should all go to the beach together and do a boat pick.
What are we? Odell Beckham? We're going to do that bit?
Yeah, right, Odell
Give
Beckham.
Give me a year.
Huh? Give me a year.
Yeah, Drab needs a year.
Yeah, you gotta get that hair.
I think we all need a year.
Well, you can keep your shirt on like Norv and those other donks.
I'll be like the big tubby guy on the far
right. Drab, keep your shirt on like Norv. Do that. Like these other old guys.
Yeah.
Who's the guy in the middle? Do you know who the guy in the middle
is?
No.
Don't recognize
definitely
him.
One of the coaches, right?
Maybe it's like, no, it's not Campo, one of his old, like.
No, it's definitely not Dave Campo.
Oh, no. Campo would be in a full bodysuit.
Yeah, he'd be wearing a wetsuit.
Right? Didn't he wear a wetsuit on the Hard Knocks?
Yeah, they were swimming with, like, dolphins or something. And he had
something
a
humiliating.
Wetsuit.
Yeah. Is there, by the way, is there, have they announced who is going to be on Hard Knocks this year?
I have not heard.
Is it too early for that?
I think you only you only care.
You still
even
care?
Though it's the same Drab bit, just, they do the same camera shots.
Drab tweeted me. He said he can't wait to see the overhead shots of, like, the freeway if they do it from L.A. or Golden Gate Bridge
do
if they
the
do
same
the Niners.
I know. I get it.
You don't even remember who was on it last year.
Hey, let me guess. There's going to be a moving truck. And dude, they're going to put all the equipment in the moving truck to go to training camp.
Chargers. It was the Chargers, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a combo.
Combo Chargers, who?
Anthony
Rams.
Lynn.
Oh, it was the Rams.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. Yeah, I didn't see any. I don't think I saw one
COVID.
Episode last year.
Yeah, it was just weird. It was like 4 weeks of Zoom meetings or something. You know what I mean? that was a weird
one. I used to love the show, and then for some reason I was just out on it after... Was it after?
Well, because they do the same thing over and over and over.
I know, but they did the same thing the first few years, and I loved it. But
I know. I think eventually you just get over it.
This show does the same things over and over, but luckily people still keep tuning in, which we do appreciate.
Right, right. Well,
all right, we've got Pete Haley next.
Pete Haley. Let's talk some mock draft next. Love mocks.
Pete said he did like 4 or 5 rounds, didn't he, for Washington. I mean, that is a pain in the ass.
Just wait till we do ours.
Yeah, we're going to do a full 7-round, 6-round, whatever it is.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, we're definitely going to do at least 19 picks.
All right, so Pete Haley, who covers the Washington
football
team.
Start setting that up right now.
For NBC Sports Washington, he's going to join the Junks next right here on The Fan. That is a silly intro, Cody Betts. I do appreciate that. I'm guessing our next guest has no clue who this band is because he's young. He's like Troy Aikman in that picture with all the old fossils on the boat. Joining us on the Zoom as well is Pete Haley, who covers the Washington football team for NBC Sports Washington. What's up, Pete? Good morning.
Good morning, Case. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on the Zoom as well as the show. And my guest for that intro... Whenever I hear old music, I usually think it's either Guns N' Roses or Led Zeppelin. I'm going to go Led Zeppelin. Oh, no. That was definitely Aerosmith. That was Aerosmith.
All good guesses.
That's a strikeout.
Incorrect. That was Quiet Riot. Just in case, if you've ever heard those two words strung together, just to let you
know.
Have
you ever heard of Quiet Riot?
As far as I'm concerned. No, Quiet Riot, no idea who would sing there with that group. And I could have swore it was Aerosmith. I felt really good about pulling that, so I just – sorry for that immediate strikeout.
It's all good. Did you ever see Quiet Riot in concert? Never did, no. And their lead singer, pour some out for him, been dead for probably 15-plus years. So that's just the way it goes.
That hurts to
His
hear.
Name was, Cakes? Kevin Dubrow.
Okay.
He liked the nose candy. It killed him. I don't know what to tell you. It stinks.
A lot of people like that.
They certainly do.
All right, Pete, so we're just talking about – we've been talking about it for weeks. Bickle thinks it's almost impossible. You know, it's like
– to trade up?
Like hitting a Powerball to trade up and get a quarterback. Well, who knows? We know that quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, first time since 1999 that's happened. We assume it's – well, we know it's going to be Lawrence. We assume Zach Wilson. Then number three, I don't know, it's kind of a coin flip between a couple guys. But do you think that it's a possibility – that Washington can trade up and they like one of these guys?
Trading up to 4 with the Falcons to me feels like basically a Powerball. I just think going from 19 to 4 is too big of a jump. But if they get there on draft night, and Ron Rivera, what he told us recently is that he's going to react to what happens in front of him. And if they get there on Thursday night, late April, and those three guys go, but then Atlanta passes on a quarterback, and then Trey Lance and Justin Fields tumble a little bit past the Lions and the Panthers at 8, then I could see Ron and the team going from 19 to 8 to try and get in front of the Broncos, or maybe even let the Broncos make their choice. You cross their fingers, and if they take a guy that you like, but that other quarterback you really are enamored with is still there, then you can maybe get to the Chargers at 13, because 10, 11, 12 is the rest of the NFC East. I don't think the NFC East is going to do Washington any favors, but maybe a guy gets to 13 and then you trade up. So going all the way to 4 is a long shot, but seeing what happens and maybe seeing what happens with those two quarterbacks, maybe they get lucky and can trade up into one of those middle spots and kind of split the difference a bit.
So, Pete, your Washington Football Talk podcast mates, Mitch Tischler and J.P. Finley, they love to do two things. One, they like to strong-arm you into trying to buy a new car from your sponsor. And two, they like to argue who that pick is going to be if Washington trades up to get a quarterback. We know that Mitch likes Justin Fields. Who does Pete Haley like if they trade up into that stratosphere?
Pete Haley is a guy who likes upside. I like parlays. I like playing roulette. I like going for a par 4, hitting the green with the driver, which I never, ever actually do. But I like upside plays, which is why I'm intrigued by Trey Lance, just because while Justin Fields might be the safer play, I think by drafting a guy like Lance and letting him learn behind Fitzpatrick, with what you have in Ryan, you don't necessarily need to rush this year. I think you can try and win in 2021 and also try and develop a long-term guy. It's a weird time where you can intersect and do both those things at once. So Trey Lance, for me, just seems like a dude who, if you mold him properly and if you get him in the right environment, can be an absolute perfect quarterback with where the league is going. And Fields can do that, too. He's definitely mobile. I'm writing a story right now where their rushing numbers are basically the same. But I just love the mystery of Fields, and I'm a sucker for it. It could get me fired if I was a GM, but it also could get me a Super Bowl ring.
You mean the mystery of Lance or the mystery of Fields?
Mystery of Lance. Sorry if I misspoke.
Gotcha.
But, I just think even though they both clearly are talented and dual threats, I think Lance might have a little more upside and can be a little more of a true superstar.
See, if I had my choice between the two, I just would take Fields more just based on we know more about him. He's played higher competition, that sort of thing. But I'm of the mindset that, and I guess I'm crazy, that I think they're set for next year. I mean, obviously we don't have our quarterback of the future, but I just feel like we're good. I mean, Fitzpatrick's going to be fine. We got a couple young guys that can back him up. I just don't see it being a huge need.
I absolutely hear you, and I think that's why, like, all this talk is fun, and it's how we fill up podcasts and how I write stories and keep employed. But Washington could just be sitting there and laughing at all this speculation and saying, like, we can sit here at 19, get one of these three linebackers, the guy from Notre Dame, Zaven Collins from Tulsa. We could get a left tackle. We can continue to build this team around Fitzpatrick, and that could be totally fine. That could be a great outcome. So I know every reporter with every local radio show is saying that the team they cover is in a really good spot with wherever they're drafting. But Washington at 19, if they don't want to forfeit any picks, which Ron at least publicly seems hesitant to do, they just chill out, let everything happen in front of them. Those five quarterbacks going basically means instead of Washington having the 19th pick, they have 14th pick in terms of all the other position players. And you could maybe get lucky with a really good stud landing to you at number 19. So they're in an okay spot. They don't need to get a quarterback, but maybe this is the best time for them to do it with Fitzpatrick as that mentor and a guy who can kind of handle the short term while you develop the long term.
And you can't guarantee, you know, next year or the year after that you're going to, I mean, the crop of next year's class, just based on the rankings at quarterback, is a lot shorter than this year. You have 5 potential first rounders this year, maybe 6. Next year you might only have a couple. I know Sam Howell is projected to go 1, Slovis from USC probably in the top 2 or 3. So you can't say, all right, we'll wait till next year because you may not have an opportunity to take those guys. And then, all right, so you got Fitzpatrick again. Eventually, Fitzpatrick's not going to be your guy. So I don't know. Maybe they just feel like there's a guy worth trading up to get, and they can groom him for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, for the pro-drafted quarterback crowd, the argument is, if you don't and you continue to draft well and build this team out and they make another playoff run, maybe your 19th pick this year turns into 24 next year and it becomes even harder to trade up. And also you have the veteran in place now. And it is tempting to say, look, there's always more quarterbacks down the road. But like you mentioned, maybe the draft class isn't as loaded. And you can hopefully cross your fingers that a veteran or two comes loose. Like Jared Goff and Matt Stafford did this year, and maybe Jimmy Garoppolo will eventually. But it's always easy to say there's more down the road, but sometimes there necessarily isn't. And this could be the best time for Washington to do so. But, you know, Ron Rivera could just say, screw that, I'm going to roll with my veterans, and I'll continue to wait and drop that cherry on top whenever it's time. He's got to do it eventually, but he doesn't seem to necessarily be rushing to do so either. Mm-hmm.
Did you like the Fitzpatrick signing? I know it was, you know, for some it might have taken a day or two, but the more time passes, the more I love it, just in terms of a 1 or 2 year solution. You know, this team, believe it or not, there are some people that think this is a legit contender. You know, with the way the defense is, if Fitzpatrick and Samuel and some of these pieces that they have offensively really complement each other, that, I mean, why not win now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm naive in a lot of ways. My dad still does my taxes. Like, I'm still very young and very inexperienced in this world. So I'm not naive enough to believe that Ryan Fitzpatrick can't just blow up and totally ruin this thing. But I also look at what he did in Miami, and he was perfectly fine and probably pretty good by a lot of the metrics. And this year, you can make the argument that he has the best group of receivers he's had in a long time. He's going to be playing with the best defense he's had. I mean, yes, his record is terrible, or at least below average, but he's also been on just garbage teams, basically every bad franchise in the NFL he's played for. So if you put him in a good situation and you just ask him, Ryan, do what you did in Miami in 2018, 2019, or 2019, 2020, bring that to D.C. with us and do that in Burgundy and Gold, and he's able to do that, then you're completely fine. You might have a top 13, top 11 type quarterback. So, yeah, I like the Fitzpatrick signing right away. And then when you just listen to him more and talk about how he's finally figuring out when to rein it in, when to go for it. He's talking about his recent experiences and how it's made him into the quarterback he is. You have some really good receiver signings that you made. You have a defense that can hopefully help him out and make his job easier. I love the signing. I think it was the best way for them to address quarterback this offseason. And it's going to be so much fun just from an entertainment standpoint to watch this dude, especially after what Alex Smith did. Throwing 4-yard passes was aggressive for him. Seeing Fitzpatrick go to McLaurin and Curtis Samuel, I can't wait for September to roll around.
You mentioned Curtis Samuel. I love that signing. I especially love it when you look at the top of the wideout market. Kenny Galladay signs for $17 million plus with a division rival. You get Samuel, who's a more well-rounded guy, a guy you can put in the backfield, a guy you can put all over the lineup, for $12.5 or $13 million. I mean, it's really good money, but it's not top-of-the-market money. I think it's a good signing. I know Bleacher Report did this wackadoo bit recently where they had the worst free agent signing for each team, and they named Samuel that for the Washington football team. I think he's just what they need on offense to complement McLaurin.
Yeah, I don't know how you could say any of their three big signings were bad. Maybe just Bleacher Report's just doing that wacky bit, and respect to them. I've done plenty of wacky bits on the internet. But Curtis Samuel, with the coaching staff who knows him well, hopefully they were able to see what he did in Carolina once they left, because that's when he really broke out. But I have faith in Scott Turner, knowing how to get the most out of that versatile skill set. And then you just look around on the offense as a whole. Logan Thomas is a QB converted to tight end. Curtis Samuel is a running back converted to receiver. And Gibson and McKissick, you have two receivers converted into running backs. I mean, there's so many chess pieces you can use and move around all over the field. Guys in the backfield, guys in the slot, guys on the edge. Just almost seems like any down, Turner can be like, who do I want to take advantage of and who do I want to use in a mismatch problem? Now, of course, goes back to Fitzpatrick being the trigger man and being able to execute the plays and not give the ball to the other team. But from Samuel all the way down to even Adam Humphries, I mean, there's so many ways to deploy this group of skilled players. And it's just nice for once to not have to squint at the depth chart and say, oh, maybe Mo Harris can break out and have 34 catches this season. Like, there's legit skilled players all around. And I think this offense can be enough to score and win some games on its own, as opposed to just holding on tight and waiting for the defense to make the difference late.
Totally agree. I think we got a shot here, Cakes. We got a shot at something interesting.
You're feeling bullish in mid-April.
Pete, what do you think about adding the 17th game?
I get it from the players' concern. Like, it's somewhat of a slap in the face that this league is talking so much about player safety. And I think there could be ways where they offset it. If they institute some sort of running clock, maybe you can chop a few plays off of each game, and then it becomes like you're still playing the same amount of snaps, even if it's in 17 games versus 16, or maybe the coach, you can figure out when to rest guys, et cetera. But from my job and from your guys' job and from NFL fans' perspective, I'm all in. And I heard that day where Drab exploded about, you know, Emmitt Smith's record is going to get broken. Records are so dumb. Who cares about records? Just do a per-game comparison. I'm sorry, Drab. I know you were nice enough to invite me on the show, but the record talk was just maddening. I don't care at all about the records. They changed.
He couldn't even name two records.
I'm sure he cares about Emmitt Smith.
I'm a purist.
I'm so sure he cares. Like, Mitch Trubisky, he can set the passing record. Go ahead. Nobody cares. Everybody knows what a good player is. Everybody knows what a bad player is. The records don't mean anything. So 17 games, I'm all in. If they want to go to 18, I'd probably sign off, but I think 18 is a good cap. Let's not totally water this product down and get too ahead of ourselves. But 17 does nothing to stress me out at all.
By the way, I thought it was your tweet or article that you said you went through and you – did you do like four or five rounds of Washington's draft and then you stumbled onto some receiver that you love like in the middle rounds?
Oh, who's your guy? Who is that? Who's the diamond in the rough?
Okay, so I'm going to pull up my story here real quick. But, yes, the angle was we're doing an all-upside draft today. So we're doing basically themed drafts on NBC Sports Washington. And I did an all-upside draft, basically not caring – about injury concerns, not caring about, you know, size issues. And my guy in the fourth round was a North Texas receiver named Jalen Darden. He is 5'8", 170 or so pounds. So he is tiny. But the scouting report on him on NFL.com, they said he can mash the turbo button instantly and get up to top speed like that. And at North Texas, you know, he's playing some scrubs here and there. He had 31 touchdowns in his final 21 games. So if you can find that guy in the fourth round, if he was available in my one random mock in the fourth round and I was happy to take him, he's going to be always an injury concern at that small size. But with that speed and that playmaking ability, if you can just slide him in the slot with these other two guys on the outside, hello, I'm all in. I'm a sucker for receivers. I'm a sucker for really fast receivers. And I think with where the NFL is going, the more the merrier. So Jalen Darden, I didn't know him last night.
I like it.
I now know a little bit about him this morning, and I am totally swept up by what he could maybe bring to this team.
That is Pete Haley. He covers the WFT for NBC Sports Washington. And it's okay that your dad does your taxes. We're all 50, and nobody in this room does their own taxes. So you're all good.
No.
You're good in our
book. No, I mean, taxes are so confusing. I just get excited when I see money coming to me. I get sad when it's going away from me. But every year he sits down and says, oh, here's your W-2 or this, that. And you plug this into this, and here's your – I couldn't understand one thing he's saying. Just tell me who I'm paying or whether I'm getting any money. But I will never learn, and that's okay by me, too. That's why God made computers and technology and accountants.
Correct. Pete, thanks as always. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, buddy.
It's Pete Haley, covers the Washington football team for NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk to you again soon. Whether you're a platoon leader or a cheerleader, PenFed makes it easy for all of us to achieve our financial goals. With great rates for those in the military and those who are not, PenFed offers credit cards, online savings accounts, auto loans, mortgages, and more, all at great rates for everyone. Visit PenFed.org for more information. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed. But hey, membership is open to everyone. PenFed is an equal housing lender insured by NCUA.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We're going to close out the show with the entertainment page brought to you by our friends at Wave Soda, which is awesome. Super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice, a little bit of caffeine, unsweetened, no stevia, no artificial sweeteners, just a clean finish, only 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter the code JUNKIES for 15% off at wavesoda.com.
Hey, before you get into it, I just want to thank everybody for all the kind messages. Everybody's been tweeting me at GlassJoeJP. And I should have communicated this to you. I've been staying in my brother's old bedroom, which has become my mom's grandkids' room as we've been quarantined here. And I stumbled onto a bunch of cards. And if you remember the goofy game we used to play called Crazy Cards, I thought we could do that real quick.
All right.
If you'd like to challenge yourselves and bet on yourself, I'll read the back of a random card.
All right.
And see if you can figure it out.
These are baseball cards.
There's baseball. Mm-hmm. There's football.
Oh.
There was even a hockey card.
Really?
It's the most random bunch of cards. But I'll start with one from 1979.
Oh, good luck.
Card number 140, Tops. He was a pitcher who was most known for his nickname. In 1979, he appeared in 36 games, pitching 58 innings with a 2.8 ERA. He was kind of a strikeout guy. 41 strikeouts pitching, and he led the American League relievers with 27 saves in 1978.
How many baseball cakes was eight? I'm sure he's going to get this correct.
Right, American League saves.
Why, so what?
1978.
His nickname?
Leader in saves, known for his nickname more than his first name, which is Rich.
Oh, Gossage.
Goose Gossage.
Goose Gossage. Oh, okay.
Goose.
Should have got that one. Right.
Well, that's a 1980
card, by the
way.
I'll give you one football one, which I just stumbled onto.
Year?
In 1979.
All right.
He led the Packers in receiving. I believe he's a Hall of Famer.
Ooh, that's a good hint.
Go ahead.
He had, let's see, only four touchdowns in 1979. 54 catches, 968 yards. Was as a senior at Stanford,
that's
he
Lofton.
Caught 53 passes.
James Lofton?
James
that's what
Lofton.
I thought. For some reason, I thought James Lofton, too, but I have no recollection of him playing. He played for so many teams, I don't even remember the Packers anymore.
Nubby Lofton fantasy does. Stats, four end zone trips. Not
Lofton
interested.
Doesn't Lofton work for CBS? He does games with
I think
somebody.
He does, yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
By the way, I'm not going to play the game anymore. We'll do the entertainment page. Just look at the mustache on Doug DeSensei's here.
That's silly.
I mean, it's the 70s. Of course. Everybody's got long hair and stashes.
1978 Doug DeSensei with terrible blunt corners.
I love Doug DeSensei.
Oh, yeah. These are far from mint.
Was he number 11?
I don't remember his number, but maybe.
What was his uniform number? I think it was 11.
Looks like he was 11.
Was he 11?
That's good. Isn't it sick how you just remember certain things? Yeah.
I couldn't tell you half of the Nats numbers, let alone a guy who played in the frickin' 70s. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but you probably remember some Caps numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Some.
Okay. You definitely remember Mike Gartner's number.
Mike Case. Gartner. I mean, that's one of the numbers that's hanging in the rafters, and I'm struggling with it.
Was he 14? Let me look.
I don't know. I don't know Mike Gartner's number.
You should know that.
While he struggles with that, let me give you a couple stories here on the EP real quick. There's not a whole lot there.
No, he was 11 too. Sorry.
I know Drabby's all excited that they're making a movie, I guess, about the Saints.
Bounty Gate. Drab's excited about that.
Kevin James is apparently going to play Sean Payton. Now, is Kevin James going to lose a bunch of weight? I mean,
I think Kevin James he looks bigger than he actually is. He's one of those guys.
Oh, I don't know. He's pretty big.
I think he's big, and I feel like he's short.
Who's going to play Breeze?
I feel like he's short and big.
It's not a Saints movie. It's a movie
about... Well, it's called Home Team.
Sean Payton coaching, like, his kid's team while he was on suspension.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And that's
so
gonna
it's
going to
be a Netflix film. I guess Peter King broke the story in his Football Morning in America column yesterday. And, I don't know, Kevin James is going to play him. Of course, you know Kevin James from King of Queens. JP loved that show. Grown Ups, Paul Blart, the Mall Cop movie.
I mean, Mike and Molly. Why in the first? Why?
Oh no, he's not Mike and Molly. It's another fat guy.
It's another big dude. Why, when you Google Kevin James height and weight, they give you his height, then they give you his weight in kilograms.
Yeah,
I can't do kilogram
help.
Conversions.
That's not going to help, is it, Cakes?
It's not helping me one bit.
Isn't it 2.2?
What's 95 kilograms? I don't know what
multiply
that would.
Times 2.2.
Now, this is actually awful, but I can't tell. There's kind of some conflicting reports about it, but it's also borderline brilliant. Usher apparently threw some party at a strip club, Sapphire, in Vegas.
Okay.
And one of the strippers posted on, I don't know, it was Instagram or Snapchat or something, afterwards, that she was bitter because they were throwing around, they were making it rain with Usher bucks.
Fake
they weren't
money?
Even real dollars, Case.
Oh, really? Fake dollars?
Yeah, so she's going around throwing her hey nanny out there for an hour and a half, and she's scooping up Usher bucks in the dark, and they go home, and they're like 20s and 100s with Usher's face on it.
You know what was more valuable than that? When I used to work at the toy store, if we did not give people a cash refund, and didn't give them a refund back to their credit card.
Weren't they called?
We
like
would
Jeffrey
literally
Bucks
give them Jeffrey dollars.
Right.
They were our version of stored credit, and they had literally had a giraffe head on the front of them, much like my paychecks used to.
So funny. So did these strippers? They had to have had an appearance fee, right? And they probably thought they were going to get
supposedly
tipped out.
His camp is saying that was kind of a joke.
Right.
That maybe somebody in Usher's group did that as kind of a bit. But I could totally see the guy saying, hey, let's just make it rain with these fake dollars. The girls
right.
get all sized. And then, you know, we'll still give them some modest tips or whatever. They're claiming that he did tip all the dancers and that he did tip the waitresses or whatever and spent a boatload of money on champagne and everything. So they're kind of denying the
tipping the stripper behind him. In
I don't think it
video?
Was him. I think it was somebody else at the poker table that was flipping chips at the stripper that was twerking right behind him. Just disrespectful. But hey, those are some big money chips that were getting flipped her way. She was scooping them up. Don't think she
right.
wasn't.
It was like Rom diving for chips at the Borgata, right?
He's always fear. For
well,
those who don't know
at,
Rom, he
he's
always
done that at,
is
Atlantis too.
He's always scanning the casino floor, thinking that a casino chip may have slipped out of his pocket.
Right.
Because I've seen the jeans that he wears. A lot of them used to be mine, and a lot of them do have holes in the pockets. So I could see a chip.
What an idiot!
Slipping out and falling on the casino floor.
Who wears jeans with holes in their pockets to a casino?
Rom does. Because he doesn't care what he looks like or what he wears.
Yeah, but if you got holes in your pockets, that's where you're putting your
well,
chips.
Well, they're also jeans that could fit Shaq.
Right. They're Cakes' right. old jeans.
They're my old jeans. You're correct.
Right. Your old jeans could fit
Cakes,
Shaq.
I know they
baggy
don't fit
jeans.
You. They're ill-fitting, but what size waist do you buy? Will you care to share?
That I buy?
Yeah.
I buy silly 38s.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad. They look like 44s on you.
Right.
Turns out you have Will Zalatoris.
All right, we got to get out of here. We are done.
Waste.
Beamidge and Finley coming up next right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.